time, ladies and gentlemen, for the smart guys. That's right. That's when we infuse a little common sense into our world, and God knows we need it. Charles Walshein, foreclosure defense attorney extraordinaire, and Stephen Schwartz, businessman aficionado, entrepreneur extraordinaire in his own right. And we welcome both to the program on this Tuesday morning. Gentlemen, good to have you.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning. How you guys feeling? You're 7 days out. I mean, I got to, like, pinch myself. You know, it's funny. I woke up this morning and grabbed my usual cup of coffee, and I'm saying to myself, now, wait a minute now. We're 2 weeks out, right? 2 weeks before. And then I was able to shake the cobwebs. We're a week out. I mean, Steve, a week out. What are you going through right now? Can you believe it?
I think the panels on these on CNN, on MSNBC, on even on Fox is getting longer. They had to build more desk space to drag in every single person who's ever made a comment about any election since George Washington. Till now, has an opinion on this. So I'm getting all pumped up, Jay. I can't wait for next Tuesday to sit there and watch history either way.
Yeah, and the history is what you're seeing right now, Charles, because you got record numbers, record. You know, we just had Laura Curran on, County Exec Nassau. I mean, the numbers around the block, many a case, 27 sites, early voting. People are adhering to every one of those sites as far as, their right, their constitutional right. They know. They're engaged. This is unreal. I mean, did you ever have a doubt in your mind, Mr. Walshein, that there would be such engagement as far as what we're seeing now with the numbers?
No, everybody's unbelievably motivated. And I think it's not because anybody captures your imagination. I think it's because you're voting against the other guy. And that's because I'm certainly not excited about either one. I'm ready to write in Joe DiMaggio. So he's my writer, and he would probably do a better job than either one of these guys. I can't. Well, at least everybody loves Joe, right? Everybody loves Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, real Steve. I said it a long time ago. Pick your poison, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the choices are what they are.
That's a good way to put it. Pick your poison. That's a very good way to put it.
You know, but it is what it is. But the people are engaged. Steve, when you vote, you might have voted already. I don't know. But when you will, you know, what will come to your mind first and foremost? Because it really is the most important decision of a lifetime. It really is. I've been doing this a long time, folks. Everybody will tell you, you know, this is the most important election ever in our lives right now. What will come to your mindset first and foremost, Mr. Schwartz, when casting your ballot?
I am definitely the right person to ask for this because I am completely still undecided.
You have a write-in, Stephen, don't you? You have a write-in vote?
No, I'm going to be going in person. I'm going to be walking right on into my local high school, okay? And I will be in there. There's something special about walking in.
No, that's not what I mean. I said you're going to write somebody's name, and you're not going to choose.
I'm thinking about writing in my dad's name because he lost his life to COVID-19. So I'm thinking about, LS, rest in peace. But then, you know, people have been telling me, you know, you got to get off the fence. You got it. This is just like Jay said. I mean, Jay laid it out. This is one of the most important elections in our lifetime, and you really do want to make a stand. I'm not a person that doesn't want to make a stand for the greatest country in the world, our God bless America. So, what's going through my mind, Jay? I have no idea what's going through my mind. I said it a few weeks ago that I would vote for the refrigerator right now. If the refrigerator was on the ballot and he was a valid vote, I would probably vote for him. But I am totally undecided. What's going to be going through my mind will probably be a spontaneous decision at a spontaneous moment with something that's going to shift me. I'm still looking for a sign. And I look up in the air and I try to figure it out, but I'm not there yet.
You know what I wonder, Jay? I wonder if the media got off this guy's back from day one. If they just let him do his job the way he understands, and pretty much the way I understand, the way you have to reorganize parts of the economy and parts of the judiciary and parts of the, just basically the way we do things in America, If everybody just said, okay, Donald, you know, you really do probably know how to do this better than anybody else, and they just gave him a little bit more breathing room instead of making him defend himself and circle himself with these right-wing wackos. You know, that's his base. He has to always talk to his base, which alienates normal people like me, Steve, and you. I'm not saying we're not going to vote for him, but it does alienate us. If they had just gotten off his back, if the CNNs and the MSNBCs had just gotten off his back and stopped nitpicking, if they didn't bring up this nonsense with this impeachment, which was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life, where would we be now if we had just let him do his thing and really clean up certain aspects of Washington, clean up the Justice Department to an extent, and clean up the State Department and really fix what's wrong? Because use his presidential power in a way that only a guy like that can do, because he's not a politician. And you can see clearly he's got a big pair. This guy doesn't give a hoot about anything. He's out there. He's going to do his thing, and he does not care about what anybody says about him. What would have happened if we just got off his back and let him do his thing?
Charlie, you can't do if, though. You can't walk around your life if this happened. If the Jets had gone forward and done a quarterback sneak, they might have won a game. I mean,
they would never done it.
Let me finish. You can't do if with Donald Trump. And the reason why you can't do a question mark with Donald Trump is because he shows up for who he is. You're dealing with, this is the real problem with Trump. The real problem with Trump is his mentality, his mental aspect, his humanitarianism, his badness, his evil.
No, stop it.
He can't get himself out of a paper bag. He has great political things. But at the end of the day, it's still all about Donald Trump. It's all about Trump. Did you see him yesterday?
Let me get in here for a second.
Oh, Charles.
Go ahead.
You know what they say in the South when they have like this beautiful, they have a car that doesn't run. It's a pretty car, but if it doesn't run, clone it. And that's the story with every politician that we've had, the ones we love, the ones we hate. And a lot of people hate Trump, and like really visceral hate. It's because he doesn't care to put the polish on it. I'll tell you right now, I would take 1,000 Donald Trumps before one Ted Cruz. I would take a million Donald Trumps before I took one Dick Cheney, okay? And these are career politicians that were very nice, and they look good for the camera, but boy, let me tell you something. They are 1,000 times more dangerous than the guy we have there now, and that's a fact. So you want to talk about how bad he is? It's because he doesn't care to paint it. He doesn't want to chrome it, and he doesn't even try. And that's one of the things that we're not used to. We want to be lied to. We want the engine that doesn't run to be chromed, because that's the way we think. And then once we break that habit, maybe we can get on to the real issue. Jay?
Do we still want to be divided, though? You know, I gotta go a little bit with what Schmutz says. Because, I mean, is it the right thing to do to walk up the Truman steps of the White House there and rip off your mask and say how, hey, look what I did. I beat COVID. Well, it didn't hurt. You had a dose of dimethicone or whatever the hell it's called. And remdesivir and every other cocktail. I mean, my goodness, at Walter Reed. Is it the right thing to do to hold a Bible in front of that church and to clear the way with tear gas and everything else so you can have a photo? I mean, come on. This is a guy who prefers to step in it, and he doesn't give a damn as far as the ramifications. But there comes to a point in which the American people suffer, and they're suffering now. They're suffering in the regard that your leader, your commander-in-chief, is not showing the leadership as far as the mask. They're suffering because the testing absolutely is horrendous in this country. So they suffer in that regard. And then, by the way, they suffer because they need a couple of extra bucks in their pocket that they're not getting because there's such division on Capitol Hill. And the reason is it because of the man who sits in the Oval Office. They don't want to give him the credit before an election of getting another stimulus in place. So in essence, the man in power is actually, you know, doing what he does. But at a certain point, there comes to a point in time where you say, you know what? People are suffering because of your actions. And maybe you got to do a better job, just maybe a better job.
Well, Jay, to get back to Charlie's point, it's not that he doesn't have right messages, because he does. And it's not, you know, Charlie isn't totally wrong. I mean, Charlie is right about a lot of things. It's just that he's the wrong messenger. He's the wrong guy. Like if it was anybody else and they were going to clean this up and clean up Washington and do all some of the policies that he's done is right on. But he's the wrong messenger. The temperature is so high in this country that it needs to be lowered. We've all had, regardless of whether or not you love Trump or hate Trump, I think we've all had enough of Trump. And that's the bottom line. I think he's doing a lot of bad things for the country that is all about Donald Trump and has nothing to do with America. And really, that's a very dangerous place to be.
Well, dangerous, Charles? Hold on a minute. Charles Walshine, is it dangerous to go with the type of statement that Steve just made as far as Trump is concerned? Is it dangerous to think of what this country could look like with 4 years of Joe Biden? I mean, is that somewhat of a scary proposition to you?
I don't know. I always say that the president means a lot less than we think he does. I think we look to presidents for leadership. But as far as like what they can do constitutionally, it's very limited because Trump wouldn't have been able to get really anything done without the Senate. I mean, they veto laws that they can stop a law from being passed, and they appoint Supreme Court justices. After that, the real game is in the House and the Senate. That's where the game is. And the real game is with governors and what they do in the states, especially now. So, you know, we talk about going to vote. It's not just like, don't go to vote for president. I mean, you really have to know what you're doing. You have to know what's out there. And if you're from New York, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion, you know, that you're going to have Democrats top to bottom, you know, as far as, you know, the big elections, senators, governor, and then you go upstate, everybody's a Republican. Down here, there's a lot of Democrats. And that's the way it is. So is it dangerous? I don't know. It depends on what they're voting or what kind of deals that they're making. But all I know for the last 60 years, Washington and Albany have been bribing us with our own money, which I think that's almost criminal. I mean, you see the taxes and all the rest of the things that go on down here, the way they spend our money. I have $25,000 a year in real estate taxes. That's obscene. You tell that to somebody else in the country, like you go to the Carolinas or someplace like that, and they say, what are your real estate taxes? They'll tell you, $3,500, and they have golf courses, and their roads are paved, and the schools are open, and they have police, and like, so where does the money go? And so someone's like, am I better off than I was? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't particularly think I'm better off. I'm not worse off, but I'm not, you know, I don't look to a rosy future on my own. If I'm looking to get out of here at some point, can't afford to live here anymore. And I do well.
Thank Ed Mangano for that. Thank Ed Mangano for that because, you know, he let everything slide. He put everything under the rug while he was eating veal parmesan from Harendra Singh. You know, he didn't pay attention to the numbers. And thus, what you're going through right now as far as reassessment.
It would be another Mangano. If it wasn't Mangano or Republican, it would be somebody else, a Democrat. It doesn't matter because we're getting sold out left and right. And I really do understand what Trump is trying to do. He's trying, like, to make sure that America doesn't get sold out in these ridiculous ways. I want somebody to protect my property rights, and I want somebody to protect my family. And you want to know something? I don't know that that's Joe Biden. I don't know that it's Donald Trump either.
Hey, Jay, Charlie.
Steve, jump in.
Let me say this. I am very scared of Joe Biden. Okay? I'll go right on record. That's why I started the whole conversation by saying that I am not going to make a decision probably right until I see a sign or look up in the sky and someone's got to tell me something, because the alternative is in my opinion, I don't even know. It's the unknown, and the unknown could even be worse than what I project to be the problem, which is Donald Trump. So Joe Biden does not make me excited at all to vote for him. So I don't want to be on the fence. I do want to make a decision, and these cannot be the two best people in this country to run our world. I mean, this is just a disgrace that once again we've got two people. Whether or not you like Hillary or you like Donald, I said it then. I'll say it now. Now you got Joe Biden, of all people, Joe Biden. I mean, I am not here to sit there and tell people to vote for Joe Biden. I'm just telling you that this is the first time that I am going to look up in the sky and just say, tell me, give me a sign.
You're waiting for the burning bush.
This is just not good.
Stephen, you and I feel exactly like a lot of other Americans. They don't know how to go on this thing because they don't have vision. The vision's gone.
That's why I said at the beginning, pick your poison here, because that's the type of decision now, the mindset of what individuals are going through right now. Now, let's get to the Amy Coney Barrett deal, the newest Supreme Court Associate Justice. Her nomination confirmed by the Senate. White House held a constitutional swearing-in ceremony last night, Charles. Chief Justice John Roberts to administer Barrett's judicial oath. Swearing in today. It only took a month for Barrett to reach the bench after her nomination following the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So the court now holds, what, a 6-3 conservative majority, and the consequences of the ratio could come into play almost immediately.
Wait. 6-3 conservative majority. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people talk about this. You know, it's amazing. I'm sorry.
Why?
To
because let me say this. Hold on a minute. Let me say this. They're talking about it. Because out of the mouths of babes, a la Chuck Schumer, you know, the political unjust given to this situation, did he forget Justice Byrne back in the day? My goodness. Does he think rush to judgments have never been made prior to elections within the week or so? I mean, come on. Look back in the history. There have been two. Now, Chuck needs to figure it out a little bit as far as what went back in time. Because things were documented in place as far as the situations at hand. And the fact of the matter is, you know, listen, she went through the process. She was unflappable. I'll tell you, what an inspiration to have. And let's not forget, and I said this to you yesterday, you know, for those who think rush to judgment and everything else, this is a woman who absolutely admired the likes of an Antonin Scalia, okay? Completely opposite end of the spectrum. As far as Justice Barrett is concerned, in many a mindset. So let's not forget that. But quite frankly, the Chuck Schumers, I'm so sick and tired of hearing the Chuck Schumers of this world cry foul here in the process itself. And that's troubling to me, Charles.
Well, you know, I got to tell you this about AC Bates. She's eminently qualified. She's probably one of the most qualified people you could ever put in the chair. The fact that I may not agree with everything that she has a view on constitutionally, well, it's okay because we're Americans and we figured out a real method of how we're supposed to disagree, right? When we disagree with each other, the things that you've been seeing happening lately, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. I would like to see a Supreme Court where all the judges do not row in the same direction, and that they sit in a room, which is what they do, and they argue about these real issues. Now, one thing that I sort of like feel sorry for, like, you know, what I call civilians that aren't lawyers, because they don't understand what they're seeing on television. Because then my wife asked me, she's not a lawyer, and she says, well, what's going on with the healthcare? I said, this is not this thing with the healthcare. It's not about healthcare. What that is, That's a completely different constitutional issue. Because what happened with this was, and I explained this, I'm not going to get into the whole case, but it's got nothing to do with healthcare. It has to do with a legal principle. And whether that legal principle is constitutional, whether you can strip, whether Congress can strip one part of a law, or whether the courts would consider that entire law unconstitutional because one part of it, the part of it that was upheld because it was constitutional, in other words, the power to tax, the Affordable Care Act, that's what it's about. It's not about she's not in favor of taking health care away from people. This case that she's going to help decide had nothing to do with that. So the point that I'm getting to is that the Americans through the media are being spoon-fed this nonsense, this dumbed-down gruel. And the issues, the real issues that have to get to us never get to us. And they treat us like morons because they don't even bother to explain it. I wish, and like, thank God for a show like this, because if you ever wanted to say, Charlie, you know, or you bring Joe Campolo on, and say, can you please explain this issue to us from a lawyer's point of view? Or if you bring a police officer in and say, how are you taught to, like, defend yourself? And, like, what are your protocols? They'll hear the truth from you. They'll hear the truth from me. Because a friend of mine said to me the other day, he goes, you know, you guys are all over the place. He goes, well, you're, you know, half the time, you know, you're talking like a liberal, and half the time you're talking like a conservative. I'm like, whoa, pal, hey, no, I'm in one place. I'm in the middle. I'm in common sense land. This stuff that you see on television, it's like, this isn't like being a Jets fan or a Giants fan or, you know, who you like. This is like actually thinking about a problem, applying common sense with whatever facts that you have. And if you don't have enough facts, go get some more. You got the internet. You can find out anything you want.
I understand that. I look at the process. You know, you go back, I think it was, 1981, Steve, with Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to be elected to the court. And I look, you know, the first woman selected to serve in the Supreme Court, I think it was 81, with O'Connor. But, you know, you look at what transpired way back then. You know, you go back 40 years and where we're at now in the process. And to me, it was a celebration. It wasn't about Republican choosing a justice to serve a week out before an election. It wasn't about that. It's not about party lines. I look at it as a triumph as far as the overall process of democracy, you know, for upholding the Constitution. My goodness, it's so nice to see, right, as it is written, because it was all within the confines there. It was a triumph also for conservative women. I mean, let's not forget that, who for a long time, many marginalized in much of our political culture here. You know, I look at it as an overall celebration, and that's the way it should be looked upon. It's not a political thing. And it just bothers me, the likes of a Chucky Schumer who always tries to play this game, and it's ridiculous. Give me a thought on that, Steve, quick.
All right, Jay, I'm with you all the way. I agree with everything you said except for one thing, all right? Number one, this is a terrific point of pointing. She's terrific. I really think she's like a breath of fresh air. She really is. So I think they got the right person. Everything you're saying, the history, it's great for women, it's great for our country, actually. But here we go again. She looked like a political pawn. If you watched what was going on yesterday, I'm watching Trump talking and celebrate. Trump, from here until Election Day, should just be appointing judges. He looks great doing it. He really does. This is like a great infomercial for Donald Trump's reelection. And she's standing there, and in the beginning, I didn't know if she really enjoyed Donald Trump's speech until he started talking about her and what was going on. And Donald Trump really shined through, okay? But people that really hate Donald Trump are sitting there watching it, and believe me, they can't get through it. So when you say it's not political, the way this was done, the way it was rushed, the way it was happening, you're damn right it was political. This was totally political. This is like orchestrated, choreographed, right to the T. And let me tell you something. I am a big fan of, I think I got to give Trump credit. He picked, in my opinion, he picked a great person. Absolutely. Republican, Democrat. And you're right. I had enough of Chuck Schumer. And I've had enough of Pelosi.
Well, he's got,
the bottom line is that the stimulus package is something that if you want to be smart, get a stimulus package. There are a lot of people suffering in America. Okay, get a stimulus package. That should be page one. Instead of this, you know, I'm sure they had nice hors d'oeuvres in there. I'm sure that they all partied afterwards. You know what? America is suffering. We need a stimulus package. Enough Chuck Schumer with all your political BS, and enough with Trump doing his infomercial, his great thing, aligning himself with great people so he can look great when he doesn't look
great. He doesn't have to. He never has to run for office again. So that's the thing that really scares me about him, is that if you think he was bad the first time around, that's when he had in the back of his mind that he actually had to run for office again. This time around, it's going to be, the gloves are off. If you think the gloves were off before, that's nothing. He's going to drive the Republican Party into the ground.
All right, gentlemen.
Maybe that's where they belong. I don't know.
We are eating by the clock. We're going to take a very, very short break, Ms. Carey, and come back with that coveted Turdy Award For those who have stepped in it, we nominated it. We got a winner. We get to that right after this. All righty. We have a winner from last week. Do we have a bit of a draw? Yeah, thank you. Listen, overwhelmingly, according to JT Woods, the winner of the coveted 30 award. That's the award we give out, the bronze 30, ladies and gentlemen. For those who have stepped in it, and nobody stepped in it more than Jeffrey Lubin Tubin, who I guess on a Zoom call decided that he figured that, well, I guess he took the word Zoom literally and the zooming in on a particular portion of his anatomy did not sit well with many, and thus he is the coveted choice of the receiving of the award. Jeez, tough one. I know Lori Lightfoot was a close second, Charles. Congratulations, Lara Trump. Bringing up the rear there. But your nominee, Mr. Walshine, on the upcoming, your nominee for the upcoming 30.
Well, I was watching football, and it's a departure from politics for sure. Coach Logan from the Jets, he's the offensive coordinator. He calls plays.
Plays for Adam Gase, yep.
Yeah, I have never seen I've never seen a worse display of football in my life. I feel like I live in Cleveland. Years ago, not even this year, obviously not this year. But
all right,
I don't think the Jets are ever going to win another game as long as this guy's around. They will never.
Doral Loggins is your choice. I'm going to move it along, Mr. Schwartz. Your nominee, please.
In honor of our great networks and all our fake news, I'll give you the fakest person ever. One way, one dimensional. Stepping in it on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-day basis, regardless of who you vote for, who you don't vote for, Tucker Carlson, Fox News. You put him on for one second, you're guaranteed to see the most biased commentary. And if, God forbid, you go against him like this lady did, just his facial expressions is enough to make you turn the channel.
Right. Tucker Carlson. All right, there you go. Tucker Carlson, minus the New York Civil Liberties Union and the Legal Aid Society for the bogus lawsuit against the cops. Dermot Shea, I hate to defend de Blasio, even against him, regarding the protesters and police brutality. My award, kind of a combo. Guys, a combo goodbye to both of you. Well done. We can't thank you enough. And we'll talk
to you
again
next
week.
Thanks, Jay.